Today I want to talk about the heart of our Father God, and I believe one of the best passages that shows us the heart of God as our Father is in the parable of the prodigal son. And this is a very famous parable, and many people actually knows it, so let's just turn to that passage in Luke chapter 15. And that parable starts actually verse 11. It's Luke chapter 15, verse 11. It's a pretty long parable. It's basically from verse 11 to the end of the chapter. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just read it and then stop on certain parts and then just, you know, comment on it and then keep going on. So let's go to Luke chapter 15, verse 11. This is Jesus talking about the parable of the prodigal son, or parable of the lost son. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." So this is talking about, you know, the younger son coming to his dad and said, "Dad, you know, I'm too much in a hurry to wait for you to die to receive my inheritance. So what I want is actually for you to give me my inheritance now so that I can do whatever I want." And this is actually a very clear picture of selfishness, and someone who is just thinking about themselves and not of others. But before we start, you know, criticizing the son or judging him, let's just stop and think about our own lives and how many times have we been selfish or self-centered. How many times have we said to God, "You know, God, you do whatever you want and I do whatever I want. You know, don't bother me and just bless me and so that I can do whatever I want." How many times have we, you know, treated God the same way that this young son has treated his father? So this is actually a very good picture of the relationship of human beings to God, in that human beings, many of us, actually, when we're living in sin, when we're living in ignorance of who God is, we basically tell God, you know, "God, leave us alone. Let me do whatever I want." It's a self-centered lifestyle. It's a selfish thinking, or a selfish desire, just to, you know, just to receive blessing and without any responsibilities. Just, you know, "God, bless me and do this for me, and you know, so that I can do whatever I want and I can enjoy, you know, whatever things, you know, I need or I desire. But God, I don't want any of the responsibilities. I don't want to obey you. I don't want to know you. I don't want to follow your commands. Just give me the blessings." And this is basically the same thing, a parallel picture of what the younger son said to his father, is that, "Give me my inheritance, you know, bless me, but don't tell me how to live my life. In fact, you know, just give me all I want." And then what he did was that he gathered all his inheritance and then moved away and wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But something came up, and in Luke chapter 15, verse 14, this is what it says: "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomachs with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." So when we start living selfishly or self-centeredness, everything that happens, you know, the good or the bad, we have to take responsibility to it. And many times when bad things happens, what many people would like to do is to complain to God and says, "God, why did you let this happen to me?" Or "God, you know, so-called acts of God, how could you let, you know, such bad things happen to so-called quote-unquote good people?" Well, many times actually it's not God who's doing it, but it's because of our self-centeredness, because of our selfish desires because of our sin that you know, caused us to be in want, that caused us to be in trouble. And we can see that in the story, because the young son, you know, wasted his possession and spent his inheritance in selfishness and self-centeredness, when suddenly something happened, a famine came, and he had nothing more. He had nothing left in his bank account, per se. And so, you know, he started to be in need. And he, so much so that he actually did something that is despised in his culture, in that he needed to go and feed swine, or feed pigs. Pigs, actually, if you read the Old Testament, pigs are considered unclean animals. And it's something that you know, many of the Jewish people in the Old Testament, actually, and also during the time of Jesus, that they don't like to associate with, because they considered it unclean. But because this young son is so much in trouble that he had to do whatever just to survive. But even so, in joining himself to a citizen of the country and feeding swine, so that he's so hungry that he could even eat the food that the swines eat, the pigs eat. That's how much of a want or a need that he is in. When people are living with a selfish attitude, in a self-centered mindset, eventually this will come up. You know, eventually this need, this want will come up. I'm not saying that, you know, it's necessarily physical needs or physical wants. You know, there are many people who are rich, but yet maybe emotionally, psychologically, and definitely spiritually, they are in want. You know, people who are rich may feel lonely. People who have a lot of money and who are living in wonderful, beautiful houses may look great on the outside, but inside, in their heart, in their minds, they know that there is something missing. Why? Because, you know, people are not created by God to be self-centered. People are not created to be selfish. But if we keep on thinking selfishly, or if we made that the center of our lives, we made us, ourselves, the center of our lives, eventually a day will come when we will just wake up and realize, you know, there is something wrong with our lives. Just living a self-centered attitude, living with the desire to gain more money, and just, you know, to fulfill our own pleasures, there is something missing. I'm talking about the whole person now. Once again, it's not just, you know, eventually someone will find themselves poor and broke, but, you know, some, even people who are rich have, you know, problems, you know, and just being lonely, emotional problems, psychological problems, and of course sometimes physical problems. And unfortunately, many times it is only when we reach this sadness or this despair that we turn and we finally realize that there is something more than ourselves. There is something more than living life to fulfill our own desires. And this is what happened to the younger son, to the second son. And let's keep on reading in verse 17. After, you know, he wasted all his possessions, and after he became to be in need, this is what he says in Luke chapter 15, verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." So let's just stop here, and this is what in Christian terms we'll call repentance. This is when someone finally came to himself. He came to himself. He finally realized that, you know, all the time that I live my life with my selfish desires, all the time I live my life trying to fulfill my own desires, and is useless. You know, it brought me nothing. I'm in a bad situation. And only when he finally realized, when he came to himself, that he realized, you know, the people who are in my father's house, you know, even the servants have food to eat, and yet I am here all by myself, lonely and hungry and cold, and I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to, you know, get up and go home and tell my father, I'm sorry, Lord, or I'm sorry, Father, and, you know, don't treat me as your son anymore. Just treat me as one of your hired servants. Because even as a hired servant living in your house is better than being someone who's, you know, poor and broke and cold and trying to feed himself with the food of pigs. It is sad that you know, many times people have to reach to this kind of despair that they will finally turn around and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I realize that, you know, I've done things my own way, and you know, I've made a mess out of my whole life. And Lord, I am coming to you, and I'm asking you, you know, to forgive me and just to take me back. And, you know, if we just stop and think about this, you know, many of us will think, okay, the Father will, you know, be justified in his whatever he says, and the Father will probably just say, okay, you know, I'll accept you conditionally, or, you know, I'll give you a testing period. But no, we can see that the heart of the Father, and it's a picture of how God sees us, especially of how God sees those who return to him, those who turn your life around and say to him, God, help me. And this is how God treats us, and this is how the Father treated his younger son. So it's Luke chapter 15, verse 20. And the younger son arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry, or they began to have, you know, a party, a celebration. So this is basically the heart of the Father. And we can see that, you know, when the young son decided, finally came to himself and repented, meaning that he turned around from his wrongful way of living and went back to his father's house. But when he was still a very long road away, or very far away, what the father did was that he saw his son. You know, and it seems that it's the father has been looking for him. You know, he saw his son. And then what the father did was that he actually ran and met his son on the road when the son was coming back. And this shows the heart of the father. This shows that how the father longed for the son. He wanted his son to come back. He wanted his son to be with him. And this is how God treats us. This is how God looks at us. That, you know, he is sad when we decide that we don't need him. When we decide that, you know, we want to live our life our own way. He's really sad. But he being a gentleman, that he won't just go and force himself into our lives. But his desire, you know, his want is for us to turn and be with him, because, you know, he has so much good things and so much blessings in him, you know, the love and the grace and the compassion in him, and that he wants to give to us. But if we decide to live our lives our own way, then, you know, he won't just force himself into our lives, but he'll just sit back and longingly wait for us to come back to him. But once we do, once we make that decision to come back to him, he will meet us where we are. He will meet us on the way home. You know, in fact, the father ran to his son, and this is a culture where, you know, the older generation do not usually show such affection to the younger generation, where it's the younger generation who has to show respect for the older generation. But the father loves his son so much that he actually ran to his son and just hugged him and kissed him, and then, you know, had a big celebration because his son, whom he considered dead, has returned and is alive again. This is how much God wants and desires for us to turn to him. But he won't, as the father, he won't go and search you out in your time of selfish living, or in your time of prodigal living, where you're wasting all your inheritance and wasting everything you have in your self-centered lifestyle and selfishness. But once you decide to turn back, once you decide to repent, then God is, you know, he'll meet you there, and he will hug you and love you. So this is, we can see, this is the heart of the Father. But that's not all the story. You know, there's still a huge chunk of the passage that that talks about the older son. You know, it's not just the younger son who is lost, but there's also the older son. So let's keep on reading in Luke chapter 15, verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." So you can see that this is, you know, the heart of the distinction between the heart of a father and the heart of a older son, probably an older jealous son. And we can see a distinction that you know, this is a son who physically stayed with his father, but many times emotionally, psychologically, was not with him. The father said that, you know, "Son, you have been living with me all this time, and you should know that everything that I have is yours." This is what the father said in verse 31. Where the father said to his older son, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that I have is yours." Now, how many Christians, unfortunately, do not know this truth? How many of us Christians, you know, when we hear how God blesses other people, when we hear how God reach out and touch other people, that instead of rejoicing, as a older brother should do, when you see your younger brother who has been lost but he returns, instead of rejoicing we become jealous, and you know, this is actually when jealousy rises up within us, you know, it's a good time for us to stop and try to figure out why are we getting jealous. Is it because we do not know what we have in God? Just like the older brother, because, you know, he did not realize that, you know, because he was with the father all the time, that everything the father has, you know, he can enjoy everything that the father has, he can use for himself. How many of us Christians, you know, when we see God blesses others, do we come and rejoice with that person? Do we say, you know, "Bless God, and you know, I thank God that He's blessing you"? Or do we just turn around and start getting jealous and say, you know, why is God blessing him and not me? Jealousy comes because we do not realize all the benefits, all the wonderful grace and compassion and love that we have, we can receive from God. But likewise, in this passage, we can also see that God not only loves the son who was lost physically, but he also loves the son who was lost emotionally and psychologically. The younger son was lost to him physically, meaning that the younger son, you know, physically left the father and went to live somewhere else. But this older son, who has always been with him, but yet do not understand and does not enjoy the presence of the father and just being in his father's house, the father actually, instead of, you know, getting angry and disciplining the older son, saying, you know, "How could you be so self-centered and selfish?" Instead of the older father, the father actually came out to him. In verse 28, it says, you know, the older son was angry and would not go in, but the father came out and pleaded with him. This is the heart of the father. You know, he desires for his people. He desires for his people to come to know him and to love him. You know, he desires for his people to enjoy him. But once again, he will not force himself on our situation. He will not force himself on, you know, if we're living in sin, he will not force himself to you know, sort of drag us out of sin. Only when we come to our senses will he come, and only when we allow him to come to our situation will he come and just meet us where we need him. But this is a good picture of who the Father is, who God is. He wants to have a relationship with us. You know, he wants to have a close, intimate relationship with us. Whether you know we are like the younger son, where you know we have told God, you know, to leave us alone and don't bother us, and we spent all our you know goods on self-centered living and selfish living, or whether we are like you know the older brother, where you know we think we have been you know, doing good and we even perhaps even went to church you know once in a while or even went to church religiously every Sunday. What God really wants is actually a relationship, not just for us to be there with Him, but just to have an intimacy and to know who He is, and to so that we could enjoy everything that He has. You know, He told the older son, "Everything you have been with me, and everything that I have, is yours." That's what God wants us, you know, wants us to have, and that's what God wants us to know, is that when we are with Him, everything that He has is, you know, is freely available to us. So I just want to take this time and you know when you're when you heard this message today, that if you have been like the younger son, you know you have lived your life in self-centered living and you know living your life with you as the Lord of your own life, but then you have you find yourself you know in need. Not necessarily physical need, but maybe emotionally or psychological need. You find yourself being a really lonely person. You find yourself, you know, there's no reason for you to live on. There's no reason for you to, you don't know the reason why you're on this earth. Then, you know, just stop and take this parable into your heart and know that it may be a time for you to do what this younger son did, where he finally came to himself. And he said, "You know what? I'm going to turn around and go back to my father's house." Maybe you are in the same situation, that you know you're finding yourself in a whole lot of trouble, and maybe many of those troubles are caused by your own selfishness or caused by your own you made the wrong choices, you made the wrong decisions. Well, once you turn around and come back to God, I promise you that you will meet God. God Himself will run to you and meet you and hug you and do the same thing that He did, that this father did to his younger son, and just basically to love you and you know even have a big celebration because you have returned. And if you find yourself, you know, like the older son, that you know you have been doing things religiously, you have been, you know, going to church, you have been, you know, trying to live up to the perfect requirements that you think that the Bible tells you to how to live, and yet you find that many times you are jealous of other people, that you find that you are complaining to God, why are you blessing everyone else but me? Well, this is a good time to stop and think, and maybe, you know, you have become like the older son, where you are thinking that being a Christian is more of a religious thing to do instead of a relationship with God. Highly recommend you to just stop and think and just to go to God in prayer, and you will hear this word that God says to you, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." This is God calling out to us right now. This is God calling us to whether you are like the younger son, whether you are like the older son, doesn't matter. God wants a relationship with you, and God wants you to come and to know who He is. So if that's who you are, I ask you to come and join me in this prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for just reminding us through the parable of the lost son, Lord, that You love us, Lord, and You want us to come to know You. Lord, I pray that for those who are coming and who are hearing this message, and Lord, whom Your Spirit is touching your heart, and Lord, that they want to come to know You, Lord, that You will reach out and touch them, and Lord, let them experience Your love. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.